Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBSRadio.com. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
And we are live from our new digs here in at DePaulo's with, I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Mark Berry.
That's not how you...
That was, a lackluster intro.
Yes, I know it was, but...
I've had diarrhea that was more exciting.
I call do-over.
Next week I will practice and I will have that down pat.
Steve,
and
you're getting unacceptable request for it to be in a seductive voice next time.
Oh, really? Who's saying that?
That would be a frequent caller of ours, BC.
Oh, hi, BC. No.
Big sexy Steve Roscoe will lead us in with a seductive opening in the next episode.
My goodness.
We promise. Boy. Ish.
And who else is here with us?
Larry O'Grady's here.
Larry Carbom O'Grady.
The Carbom.
You're not living that one.
Would you rather have Limburger Cheese as a nickname?
We can do that.
I don't know. I'm not a nickname.
Larry the Sticky Cheese O'Grady.
Do you guys remember that video game? Why? Since I'm in a room of gamers, do you remember Larry the Lounge Lizard?
Larry the Lounge Lizard.
I remember that. That was
Leisure Suit Larry.
Early 90s.
So we're going to do that. Larry's your nickname is Carbom.
Well, no, it's not.
Yes, so
it is now.
It is now. It's,
so, okay,
ladies and gentlemen,
let's carry over from
it's
the
Larry the Carbom.
Okay, hey, how about the other guy that's over there?
What other guy?
That guy right there that I'm pointing at. That no
Peter
one can
Lemish?
See. Yeah.
Peter Lemish.
And we have Dr.
David D.
David D.
Hello. I'm busy watching all the paranormal creatures that are walking by our new office over here.
Rome, New York, the home of cryptozoology.
Yikes.
You missed it last hour, folks.
Is that crypto-ghettoology?
Crypto-ghettoology. We had a 23-month pregnant lady walk by. Oh, are they coming by again? One never knows.
Well, you know it is Toothless Tuesday at Walmart around here. So.
We are looking at the equivalent of people of Walmart.com walking by our office.
Just remember, dignity in life, dignity in death. Pajamas are not dress clothing.
If they bury you in your sequence jumpsuit and you're not Elvis,
there might be a problem.
Or Liberace. You got to give Liberace
or
some doing.
Yeah, I guess that works too.
He made rhinestones popular. What can you do?
I guess that's
so did Evel Knievel, didn't he? Was he a rhinestoner?
No,
maybe with the stuff he was doing. Not a rhinestone.
Yeah, it could be.
You had to be a stoner to do half the stuff he did.
You're not getting me to jump over a flaming pit with a motorcycle going 45 miles an hour?
Pussy.
Okay, for a fiver maybe, but. Or a hand jibber.
Why are we the arm fat capital of the world?
Oh, I don't know.
It's amazing to see that the it's just wrong. Okay, paranormal.
Back
well, that
paranormal.
Is paranormal.
Well, back to the legitimately paranormal, not the paranormal we can still explain somewhat.
It's like back fat. I mean, I'm not skinny,
oh,
but
dude. Armpit tits.
See, I knew I could set the car bomb up and he would come through. I'm sorry. Wow. So Larry wants to talk. Tinfoil topics.
I'm so excited because a lot of these things we can totally talk about because they may relate to what we do and they may not. We don't know.
Do we want to carry over time travel from the last one or start
absolutely
with something fresh?
Yes, and we should point out that Mark has posted on our Facebook page the proper way to make a tinfoil helmet that
yes,
you
there
probably
are
want to wear
steps
you
show must follow. And if you don't follow these steps, they can read your mind.
There are
all right.
Should we bring it up on here, too? We should tell them about the fact that if you hit a flu shot, you've already been injected with a tracking chip by the U.S. government?
Most likely.
More than likely, apparently.
Well, and you can't pee them out.
That would make me trackable because I've had flu shots.
Did you ever watch
that thing? Joiner, you?
It doesn't have to be flu shots. Could be whatever. Were you in school? They did a strep test. Well, there you go. You never know.
That explains that dry feeling back there in the back of the throat.
For that shot, you have to get every 10 years for sexually transmitted diseases. What is it?
Even if you're solid?
Maybe it's just me. No, if you step on a nail, you got to get that lockjaw thing.
Tetanus shot?
Tetanus.
It's not sexually transmitted.
It's not a sexually transmitted disease.
If you're over 95, maybe.
As far as I know.
Are we talking about tetanus?
Steve called tetanus.
Lockjaw.
No, I didn't.
Or Peter called tetanus. Sexually transmitted disease.
I don't believe that's the case. But.
Well, Mark is right. If it's 95 years old and it's rusty and sharp, I mean...
So...
It's going into the cavern of the wind.
Well, time travel. Time travel, yes. Back to time travel.
When you thought you were 18.
There are apparently...
Young and clean.
At least three theories of time travel, three concepts that are commonly accepted. And they're the fixed timeline, the dynamic timeline, and the multiverse. Anybody know anything about these ones?
Yes, does one include me and David's grandfather knocking our ass back at least 12 centuries if he hit me once?
That is not the grandfather paradox most people think of, but...
How about the Iron Ring paradox? Is that one out there?
Iron Ring paradox.
Peter got hit by the Iron Ring paradox a few times.
Who has a game like that? A 90-pound iron ring on a string.
Well, if you got it on the hook like you were supposed to, Pete.
That's a friggin' YouTube video. I'm going to go make that and put it on the side of the shed.
Pete still has it. Anyway, back to topic. I like the multiverse theory.
It's what that was used in Terminator, I think, and... The new Star Trek movie covered multiverse, where you're not really affecting the existing timeline. You're jumping into a new universe,
yep.
A slider universe there, where it's not necessarily the same.
That was a good show.
Yes, it was.
From a quantum mechanics perspective, it aligns with the many worlds theory.
Yes.
So that I like.
Good theory, yes. I'd like to see proof.
I would love to do that. Just slide around all the rest of my life.
You just never know.
Just never know.
But whatever goes out into the thing that, like, what I was reading about, the multiverse theory, say you were able to go into another universe, alternate one just like ours, just slightly different, something's got to come back to our universe. It has to be compensated, I guess.
The law of conservation of energy.
It would. If you end up going into this universe,
something takes
the
your
one
place
from
here.
You in that universe would end up...
Well, why? It doesn't have to be a perfect swap. What if that one goes to another one and another one, like the Newton's balls there?
Exactly. Yep.
Don't play with Newton's balls.
He doesn't like it.
Now, are balls a reference for fig Newtons, or is that just.
Only if they're wholesome.
Me being
good
hungry. The wholesome goody good.
My phone sucks. I'm sorry.
I know there's no Whovians in the red. Did you? Are you a Whovian, David? No Whovians. The regenerated Ninth Doctor there. Had, I think it was like the third or fourth episode, made an episode about that where he told, what's her name? I can't think of her name now, that he'd bring her anywhere she wanted to go in time. So she wanted to go to the exact moment her father died. And reluctantly, he brought her that Rose, and she stopped him from getting killed. And then the rest of the spoiler alert, so the rest of the show basically was them going back like 40 more times trying to reverse what she originally did, but then these big dragon-type creatures came in and literally started erasing time to correct them. And they would erase everything back to, like, a certain point. So they found refuge in a church. And because the church was, like, medieval, built in the 1100s, the dragon couldn't touch the church. But if they stepped outside of the church, it erased them because that was in that period of history it was trying to correct. It was a really weird storyline, but...
Yeah.
Going on to your...
It just goes to show that science fiction today is possible fact in the future.
You never know.
The Doctor's real. He wouldn't be on TV for 50 years if it wasn't real. The British are hiding quite a bit.
More than
our government, the British are hiding a lot.
I wish you guys watched Fringe, man. I wish you, like, kept up with it.
We'll have to watch.
There's a whole lot of that in there. Like, there are these beings from the future called... I think they're called... I can't remember. Observers. That's what they are. They're observers. And they're basically the human race. It's just super duper advanced now. And one of them ended up going back in time and saving someone accidentally. And it skewed everything into an alternate version of reality.
Mm.
But then all these observers were like, everything's getting messed up at our time. So they all go back. They try to like fix it back to what it was. And then I don't want to spoil it for anybody. It's so good. You guys got to watch it. Seriously.
Well,
there's 5 seasons of it and it takes like 3 days to accomplish just straight through. But I'm just kidding. Not 3 days, but it takes a long time.
He is correct. There's like 90 episodes.
Yeah.
That's worth checking out.
20, 40, 60, 80, 97.
Since we're talking about time travel, the most popular time traveler that I can think of outside of television is John
Titor. Helmut Schmeichel?
I was going to say Helmut, and it was actually literally across the street from
Hey, I don't know that's not real. If you've seen the things that come out of there, we never know.
That's true. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Interdimensional portals there. He's a good guy.
A good guy.
But John Titor was early 2000s, I think. He hit up a bunch of message boards claiming to be a time traveler from the future looking for something in today's society.
I remember you were telling us about that.
His time manifold, whatever it was called there. An electron injection manifold is what it was, to alter mass and gravity into micro singularities.
Hmm.
So it was interesting that he was as convincing as he was, more or less just making things up off the top of his head. And he made predictions that seemed to be fairly accurate, and he won over a lot of people.
That's wild.
Now, have any of you gentlemen seen on YouTube? There's a video, the Time Traveler and the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Yes, with the cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. It's an old lady who's walking in the background she's an extra,
mm-hmm.
and she's walking by, and she appears to be holding a cell phone to her ear and talking. This was in the 20s. I mean, you could see her lips moving, and she's actually holding the phone and talking.
She's a weird old lady who talked to herself.
Look that up.
Yeah.
Look up Charlie Chaplin Time Traveler on YouTube.
Also, there was another one.
Now, is there any noise to this video?
It's a silent
movie. It's a silent movie.
Do you know who Charlie Chaplin is?
You know what? No, I didn't know. 1920s, I should have known.
Okay, go ahead, guys. I'm sorry. There's another one like that. It's the Time Traveler in New York or something, but this guy ended up appearing in the middle of Times Square in like the 20s or the 30s. I can't remember. I think it was like the 20s, but he just appears in the middle of Times Square and people are driving. You know, they're big, friggin' giant.
Yeah, giant cars.
He lasted about, I don't know, 10 seconds dodging cars and he got nailed. Well, nobody knows where this guy came from. He just appeared in the middle of Times Square. And his clothes were not that from that period.
It's weird.
Because he had a wallet on him with it looked like some kind of identification, I guess, but they couldn't read it. And he's dead. I don't know. Like, he just died. And that's it. But they figure that he's probably a time. Like, why would someone just appear in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
It's strange. There are pictures. There's a painting that someone did. They do those three-dimensional paintings on the ground, and somebody did one of this guy dead on the ground, and people are all over him.
It's Rudolph. I don't think it's actually a woman. I think it's a man.
Yeah, it looks like a man.
Are you watching it?
Yeah.
What scares me is the guy in front of him.
No, it is a woman. It is a woman because it has...
Are we talking about Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, it's a woman.
Do you need to refresh?
No, I'm good. I just saw it last week, in fact.
According to the story, in June 1950, a man suddenly appeared in the center of New York City Times Square as if from out of the blue, wearing old-fashioned clothes and sported the kind of mutton chop sideburns that had gone out of fashion decades ago. It said he's glanced about with a first look of astonishment and then panic as he sprinted forward and was struck down and killed by a car. Mm. When examined by police, they found 19th century money in his pockets as well as business cards identifying him as Rudolph Fence. But they couldn't locate records of a man named Fence anywhere until they came across the old widow of Rudolph Fence Jr. The widow told them that her father-in-law, Rudolph Fence Sr., had disappeared one day without a trace in 1876. Intriguingly, the address of her father-in-law matched the address on the mysterious stranger's business card, so the police were left with an enigma. Fence appeared to have vanished in 1876, only to reappear in 1950. Had he somehow fallen into a time hole that sucked him 74 years through time? And then it was debunked, apparently.
That's weird.
How is it? What did they do to debunk it? What happened?
The tale began as a life began life as a science fiction story penned by Jack Finney and published in the 1951 anthology. 2 years later, a writer named Ralph Holland reprinted the story in a booklet. He did so without permission and removed all indication that the story was fiction. Holland was a member of a group called Borderland and was committed to promoting belief in the existence of a fourth dimension. So it was presented as fact, but never actually confirmed. So it started as a story, and they took out the original names, and they created a new one.
So there was no physical evidence. Death or anything right. like that?
That was very strange.
The Charlie Chaplin film? Yeah, that was strange. Weird.
Well, let's go back to the man. We got Jules Verne. Where'd that stuff come from? You have the Nautilus under the sea. You have... He did something with the moon. I can't remember what that one was called.
From the Earth to the Moon?
Is that what it was? I don't read when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure.
Then you got that H.G. Wells guy there with the time machine thing.
Well, time travel's always been something that's been contemplated by man. I mean, what if I could go back and fix something, change something, do something?
That's one of my favorite 70s movies, Time After Time.
I don't think it's more of a what if. I think it's when.
Well, what if I told you time travel right now is possible?
Right. See, that's the thing. Like, back in the early 1900s when that stuff was all made, it was very simple to come up with some completely zany, far-fetched idea, make a movie about it, and just entrance the populace. But now, looking back at that from 100 years later, the stuff is just, you know, taken for granted now. And then you look back at it and you say, my goodness, that was visionary. But that would be the same thing as us with, like, Sliders or with...
I love Sliders.
You know, what were you talking about, Larry, the TV show?
Fringe.
Fringe, yeah. I mean, like...
Well, there's a TV show, I think it's made in Canada. It was called Continuum.
Continuum is a good one.
It's a good time travel flick.
So 100 years from now, people may be looking back at those and saying, holy cow, how did people think... Look at Star Trek. I mean, a lot of current technology today... was derived or is a duplicate of what was once science fiction on Star Trek.
That's the question. Did that inspire the exactly. research into those concepts, or was that just the direction we were heading anyway? And there you go. I mean, it really is. The science fiction of yesterday is the fact of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or the science of tomorrow, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Yep.
So what are we going to end up with in the future? And then time travel today is possible, just not the way people imagine it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even talking about the photons, or I'm talking about the traveling beyond or about the speed of light, the concept of, anyway. So possible in theory hasn't yet been accomplished. Yeah. But if you froze somebody, or you not even froze somebody, you stuck somebody into a little pod, shot them off into the speed of light to turn around and come back in 20 years,
yep.
They spent 20 years. We spent, you know, depending on the time dilation, could be up to 200 years or more, depending on how fast they're going.
It's just physics.
And it's interesting. I mean, could you imagine coming back 20 years from now and having absolutely nothing on this planet that you recognize?
That's how Marky Mark got into the whole mess in Planet of the Apes, okay?
There's another one coming up.
Oh, goodness.
Wait, you guys didn't... You didn't...
I haven't gotten past 10 minutes of any of them, ever. Even the
really?
Original.
Really? Rise? No. I just saw it. I loved it.
You know what the most interesting part of that movie franchise is? The fact that Andy Serkis is one of the apes.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, dear. Look at this. Look at this paranormal. Look at this cryptid group coming by us right now.
You mentioned Sliders. I used to love that show. There was one specific coming to mind where they were like on this archaeological dig. And they pulled out like a beer mug, and they're like, oh my God, this is an ancient ceremonial vessel that they used to talk. And I just burst out laughing because it's just a regular beer mug.
Yeah.
It's like, but people might think that of us in 2,000 years.
That's
like,
right.
Oh my God, what is this?
What ceremony did they use this in?
So let me pose this to you in a scientific minute. If I fart and it lingers in the air, is that time traveling?
No, that's torture.
Yes. Good call.
Are you watching A Shot to the Moon?
No,
we're watching actually more time travel stuff, but...
What has she got out of her? The only thing with the Charlie Chaplin thing that I could figure, people that were hard of hearing back then used to have a horn they would stick in their ear.
But she's walking with something, and she's talking like this, like she's trying to like...
And she has the cell phone grip, too.
That...
And people are trying to debunk it as walkie-talkies, but they didn't have that technology at the end of World War II.
Not at that size, anyway.
And why would she be using it on a movie set like that?
Well, she could be taking a cue for something in the movie, or she was more of an important figure leading the extras, maybe. But that just gives possibility.
Giving them instructions from her cell phone.
That can't even be a transistor radio or some kind of radio device, because the tubes... I'm watching a video here. It's called Time Traveler Caught in 1938 Film.
Another one?
Yep. This one's more interesting. I don't think it's a 1938. The style is off a little bit, but...
Yeah. Okay, so she's holding something, too, that looks like a cell phone.
Oh, we're safe here. Look at this cryptid. We have a black belt walking by
17th degree black belt.
Holds it across her chest and closes it.
Could it be a compact, though?
Up to her ear? Again, it is a possibility.
Talking, you know? And if she is a time traveler, would that actually be a phone, or would that be something she's talking to somebody through time?
Like saying, a Star Trek communicator?
Saying, oh my God, I am here. Look at these people. This is so cool. I love it.
Could she be alien?
Yeah, why not? Who knows?
If you were all of a sudden back in 1942... the height of World War II, and you had this, you know, and you could talk to me or Pete or somebody, would that be kind of nifty or what?
It would be nifty. Can I see that?
Oh, my God, Pete.
Yeah, that's interesting, that one.
I don't know. I mean, that's, again, they're very interesting videos, but... Then again, I mean...
Just watch it.
Easily enough, that could have been filmed in the 70s, 80s. Well, it wouldn't be that small of a cell phone. It could have been filmed in the 90s, meant to look like something from the 30s.
Yeah, but it would...
Your first handheld radio wasn't until at least the 50s.
Right, but if that... Say that was filmed in...
There has to be a logical explanation.
But who knows?
It.
Is that actually a clip from the movie? Is that the full original footage from the movie?
I don't know. Not from the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Well, from that's whatever movie they shot in the 1930s for that. Is it possible that's a movie
But you're right. It looks more... Late 40s, early 50s.
The style a little bit. But that could easily be a reproduction film made for some third-party movie that never came out that, I mean, I'd have to see what it's originally from and look at the original footage.
I don't know. Mm. I think she was just holding something, talking to someone.
Yeah, this...
Like, she was doing something with her hair while she had something.
This one's kind of questionable. She does look like she's playing with her neck instead.
You know what I mean? Maybe like she's got a compact or something.
Yeah, holding something.
But why would she be
talking
to a compact? Well, maybe she's kind of got psychological.
Well, it doesn't look like she's talking. Well, yeah, it doesn't.
But maybe she's got psychological problems.
The problem with this one is that she's in with a group of other. She looks like a teenager, early 20s.
And you would think that if she was talking on something that close to other people would be staring at her like, "What the hell are you doing?"
I mean, she looks like she's in communication with the people around her.
Yeah.
Right.
While doing something with an object, but I don't know. The other one to me was a little bit.
The other one better.
Yeah.
So Steve, if I told you you could go into the bathroom here, flush the toilet, and it'll transport you anywhere in history, where would you go?
1942.
Would you?
Yep.
He's got the fedora.
I've got the fedora. I got the clothes. I've got the tunes.
I would have to see the
where
Civil War.
Go?
I'm sorry.
Would you go with me?
I'd go anywhere.
1942.
I'd spin the dial and hit the button, see where I end up.
Are you stuck there?
No, see.
Say you go, and are you stuck there for good, or do you get to come back?
I don't think that far ahead in the question.
I could be stuck there and be happy.
Let's say you're stuck there. That's a good point.
I couldn't.
If you could go back and you were stuck there, where would you choose to go?
I'd go into the future. We already know what happened in the past.
Back.
We have to go
back.
We
have to go back. Well, the future's not written yet. How can you go forward?
No, it is! So make the best of it, both of you!
Well, that's not true, because Time Machine went to 801-642.
Yeah, well,
actually, I don't remember the actual year, but I did remember it one time, just in case there's a trivia question. Where would you go, David?
Well, 1340s, England.
So the Lannisters' bathroom to watch Peter Dinklage.
10 years.
Spoiler alert.
10 years before the Black Plague.
So it gives you at least 10 good years before you die.
That's
so
right.
So since we're not inoculated against the Black Plague nowadays,
all you have to do is clean yourself. That was the major.
No, I'm pretty sure that if we were to go back that far, we would probably die a lot faster than we'd think.
Oh, you better believe it.
the lifestyles we live today, I mean, hand sanitizer was...
Yeah. We'd be done.
Washing your hands was rarely thought of. Yeah. Washing yourself was rarely thought of. So, I mean, those people lived in squalor, but they lived very, very healthy lives in that sense because they could resist...
To the ripe old age of 35?
But if you think...
Compared to the stuff they could have caught, you go back and you'd catch 46 diseases in a matter of minutes.
That's right.
But if you think of the ramifications of all of the changing history, I mean, would you go back to 1963, the Dealey Plaza with John Kennedy, and you could stop it, would you?
No, modern history, I don't think I would. I would mess. I have no...
Would you be tempted to stop it?
No.
How could you stop it?
I don't know.
How about you? Where would you
there
go?
There were two shooters for a reason, Steve. July 4th, 1863.
That's right. Yep.
But that'd kind of be more of a...
I want to go back to see what the deal is with the pyramids. I want to go zap, and you're right there, and you see what's going on.
How they built it.
Let's say it's like tacky flying saucers, like Mars Attacks, flying over, and they're just like, we were just hanging out. We weren't building anything here. We were just... You could go about your business.
I can see Larry what he's wearing right now. Zappy's back in Egypt.
This needs to go on Facebook.
Crucifixion, what would happen?
That's a question.
Because now you're proving the unknown. How about that for a wrinkle in time?
That is a wrinkle in time.
Because nobody can prove that historically Jesus lived. They can prove sort of, but not.
I mean, it's...
Well, then again, you're proving it.
I could sit there and say, maybe some guy lived in his, you know, they talked about him. But
you're proving it to you, though. Not everybody. I'm assuming you can come back. If you can't come back,
you've
done nothing.
If you
can,
it doesn't matter. But
I mean, if you ran over and you tackled the guy with a spear, then maybe you're good to go. Hitler would have never had a chance in World War II.
I'm just saying, you got 2,000 years of history based all on that one event.
True.
If
you could hop from, say, you know, from time to time, think of the things you could learn. You know, you could, like Jesus, you know, witness the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You could actually go back to London in the 1800s.
Jack
the Ripper. Yeah. You could find out who the real Jack the Ripper was. And maybe history and maybe the truth is not as flamboyant or as...
Oh, it never is.
...eye-catching as the mystery.
Yep. How about you, Mark? Where would you go?
Honestly, I'm not sure. Like I said, spin the dial, see where I end up. As a kid, I used to think about going back to Gettysburg with a suit of armor, modern armor, a samurai sword, and a chain gun.
That would be a good idea. Have some fun
from the top of the hill there and see what happens.
But see, the only problem with me spinning the dial and see where I end up, I'd end up back with the dinosaurs, and I'd last about 5 minutes because I'd appear right in front of a T-Rex, and I'd be done.
As a four-foot mosquito killer.
That's completely fine if you did that because he wouldn't know what to make of you anyways.
He would just eat you.
Or he'd probably run away scared, you know?
He'd be real scared.
No, I don't think so.
Steve is the missing link.
No, I'm not.
came back to tell us.
I live here in Rome. What do you think?
That's right.
This whole time.
Homo Stevus.
He just called you a homo
the
Steve.
Missing link.
Homo Stevus. I am not a homo Stevus.
You want me to call it homostivus?
It is a good question. It's a great idea. I mean, if you go back, though, the question is, would you damage the timeline? I mean, that's again, based on the theory of, you know, which time theory is real or would be real or could be real.
But that's if you affect it.
A chain gun back to Gettysburg, there'd be all kinds of problems.
that's saying if it does in fact affect everybody else and not just you. It might just be affecting you.
A personal timeline.
Your kind of timeline. But in the future, it might just be something alternate because now, since you've gone back, the second you step foot in that time, like in the 1800s, you've done something. You've created something. You've made a different decision than what something else. That gets in the multiverse, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're making a different decision, and then that makes a whole other universe, yep. And then a whole other universe, and a whole other universe. There are billions and billions and billions of universes, depending on your decision, my decision.
Every decision spawns a nearly infinite chain of...
I've got a very good theory coming out of that video, real quick, from some of the folks listening. They're saying that... They're actually suggesting there could be glasses in a case. If the woman wears glasses, she could have been holding the glasses case up after having just taken them off or something, and she's rounding the corner.
Sure.
That's her point.
You never had the pleasure of meeting Helmut Schmeckel, but could you imagine him going back to the... They're laying Jesus on the ground on the cross. Stop!
This gentleman...
And all these Romans just looking at him.
This gentleman came to one of our presentations here.
He's
in Rome.
He's a nice guy.
At Jervis Library. He was a very nice guy. So we just concluded question and answers. Our time went over, and we dismissed everybody saying thank you for coming. And as everybody was standing up, this man comes out of the doorway, and he's just approaching us and says, stop! And everybody just stopped and looked. He's like, I want to know what your interpretation of time travel is. I am a time traveler. And he went on to tell us about the snake that travels with him and all the different areas that he's traveled to and all of the different locations in Rome that are portals to different... And we're just all kind of standing there, not sure. And now everybody else in the sold-out, you know, capacity auditorium is just staring as well. And it was quite the... He was a great guy. We ended up going to Denny's with him, and you know we.
Well, he was take him, have him show you some places. If these some
we
these
did.
Places are portals, yep.
Right over here.
Where did
behind,
he say?
Right behind.
All of a sudden, something happened, and he couldn't show you guys. Right?
No, absolutely not.
He also has a liquid.
Oh, the super.
He
super
also has a liquid.
One of them's right over here by Herb Phillipson's. Old Herb Phillipson's.
Well, why don't you guys?
No,
we haven't been over.
It's the new Herb Phillipson's. It was the old Price Chopper.
Yeah, it was the old Price Chopper.
Okay, so it's over by the old Price Chopper.
Yeah, which is weird because when I was a child, not to interrupt Pete, when I was a child, I always had weird, I don't want to say visions because, you know, whatever. Images of that area having a cave system, like being a very primitive cave where the old Price Chopper was, where the current Herb Phillipson's is in Rome. There's just something about it. So the second that he said, I traveled to the caves underneath where the old Price Chopper is, I mean, I just like went, what?
Wait, so you thought of this stuff? What you
independent?
You had this image
When I was a child, there was always something else that was there before that was there. You know, it's just one of those weird things.
That's kind of cool.
Strange childhood, you know, imagery, whatever. But then he said it, and he said the exact same place. It was just very coincidental.
Can I just tell this quick anecdotal humor thing?
You got plenty of time.
With this, we after that presentation, we're like, we got to talk to you, so. We made an appointment. We met him at the local Denny's, our hangout. Hi, Candy. And we're all sitting at the table. And his main state that he makes money on, he has an elderberry farm. And he claims that elderberries are the cure for all medical ills on the planet. He reaches in. He pulls out a bag full of elderberry tea about this bit. He throws it on the table at David. He's like, here, you can have this. Now, the waiter is standing there. And he, like, didn't know what to do. He like, looked down. He's like, you know, he's like, I don't care what you do in your own spare time. He's like, but you might want to put that away because there's, like, five cops sitting over at the other table over there.
It was a little plastic baggie of dried elderberry leaves. It looked like a baggie full of marijuana. So the guy...
It was medicinal elderberry.
The waiter just saw it on the table. He's like, yo, what's that? elderberry tea. He just gave it to me. He's like, yeah, you do what you want in your time, but the cops just walked in. So we put that away.
Was it any good? Did you ever try it?
I gave it to you, didn't I?
You gave me the bag of medicinal elderberry weed?
The time.
So let me get this straight. You consider drinking the strange herbs the crazy time traveler guy gave you guys.
No kidding. I actually went to the health food store and bought a bottle of elderberry extract. It cost me like $50. I don't think it did anything for me. I think it actually made me worse, but I don't know.
But the guy was funny because he was big into dowsing. We talked about dowsing in the last show. He used a pendulum. And Stacy, my fiance, worked at Tops at the time. She was the manager of Tops. And she would see him come in all the time, and he would pick up a cantaloupe. And he would hold the pendulum over the cantaloupe, and whichever one started spinning clockwise is the one that was the ripest, and that was the one that he purchased. And he did that with his tomatoes and apples. He would pendulum over every piece of fruit that he purchased.
not to call anybody a kook, and I'm not calling them a kook, but these are the kind of people that present themselves to researchers and groups. And like David said in the last show, like the scientific report, you have somebody talking so much stuff that they're plausible on their theories, and then they just start piling on all this research that, because he had volumes of research about everything he was talking
books
about.
And books.
And then he just randomly says, well, I have a superconductive liquid that I keep in my attic. I got it from NASA or something. It rotates at the speed of sound or some kind
no,
of
thing. No, it would move six times in one direction, stop independently, move six go, in the opposite. Yeah.
Like
and
a free energy.
Driving it. Which literally would be energy conducting substance, because if it's creating its own energy by moving and then stopping and then with nothing powering it, that's something we need, not something that should be in somebody's attic. But then again, interestingly enough, about a year and a half later, to the gentleman I hang out with discussed the exact same type of liquid. They didn't say anything about the number of times it moved until I said six, and they said, yeah, it's six times one way. So they knew about it, but I don't know from where. I don't think that he was the kind of guy that would go on and be browsing the internet.
No,
so.
No.
And wasn't he, like, blind? He should might have died, like, nine times?
Yeah.
And these elderberries reversed all of his medical conditions.
And he had
it's
quite a...
It's his Lazarus pet.
It's something. Okay.
You know, and he showed things like you shouldn't use margarine because there's, like, wood varnish or something in it. You shouldn't use this.
He came to Denny's with this bag of stuff, and there was like 10 of us sitting around the table, and he just had handouts for everyone. Everything he talked about, he handed out a packet of information. It was ridiculous.
And then the copies of letters he sent to like Congress and all these people.
He's on a watch list somewhere. But
we were there for a good 3-4 hours with this guy.
We do a consultation. I normally take in when I was going on them, I take a file folder with all the information in it. You know, I take notes on the backs of the paper. I had the back of every page. I had the inside and the outside of every inch of this manila folder covered
all these
with
keywords.
Notes. And I spent days researching some of this stuff. And a lot of it checks out semi-decently until you get to the point where then it says, oh, this was debunked by a government official here. So is it actually debunked? Or is it a legitimate claim that's being covered up? I mean, you never know. It is tinfoil topics. So I mean,
that,
you never
it
know.
Is. And he was a heck of a guy,
thrown,
too.
It's being, that file is being thrown into a cabinet, and it's going to be...
And that cabinet's being plugged into the wall as we speak so it can blow up.
So
and it's got a big X on it. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Like man-made caves, David? Or like...
No, like...
Natural
caves with
like
a torch?
This could be repressed memories of playing D&D for years.
You know, it's very weird that...
It's very plausible.
I remember... stuff and I've told these guys for years and years that as a child I had the most vivid memories of things which were nothing I had ever experienced, nothing I had ever been exposed to, and as an adult I still remember the visions as clearly and vividly as if it were just happening to me. Ireland, I've told these guys about Ireland, you know, the cave system. They're just these weird, random little pockets of memories that never existed.
Maybe we're talking about stuff
you
like
know,
this. Maybe theory.
Tinfoil topics.
Maybe there's a theory about intertwined consciousness. Like,
the
and that goes along, it's like, it goes along the same idea of like the multiverse theory where you... It's like you in that universe and the other one all share one consciousness. It's just like they're divided, so your memories aren't. But then sometimes, like deja vu, sometimes
they
kind of cross over. They get really close to each other, and then they kind of go away.
I even took a class on past life regression because it was just so...
That was the entire show last week, actually.
Oh,
Steve and I discussed past lives and past life regression.
I would love to do that.
I took
really
a class on it, and it was a fascinating class.
It'd be
and
interesting to do.
The lady had so much information about it, and she was a practitioner and whatever, and all the people in the class, they were all there for the same reason. They remembered something, or they had, you know, something about them was just not... here in the present, it was in the past, and they all wanted to travel and figure it out, and it was all guided meditation and all that stuff, and I wasn't able to do it. Not in the least.
You can't meditate.
Not in the least. And the lady kept coming over saying, have you gotten to mm-hmm. this stage yet? I'm like, no. I mean, it's just, I'm making it all up in my mind. She's like, you have to stop thinking. And I don't stop thinking ever.
It takes a lot of I don't want to say concentration. Discipline. It takes a lot of discipline.
It's the lack of concentration.
Just sit there and just empty your mind and do nothing.
Yep.
It takes a lot of discipline to do that.
One of the most common ways to perform past life regressions is through hypnosis. And I strongly believe that no one in this room would be susceptible to proper hypnosis just because we are too actively thinking.
Yeah.
The people that are most susceptible to hypnosis are those that are most willing to believe something without discerning what's going on. I mean, if you'd have to take somebody off the street and convince them something before you could truly hypnotize them.
Yeah.
So it really is one of those things where it's an interesting concept. It's a great idea. I'd love to do it, but I don't think I could ever be hypnotized to do it.
I told the lady, I said, this class is about guided meditation, but I considered it more guided imagery, because she was saying, pretend that you're walking across a meadow and you reach the top of a hill, and from the top of the hill, you're able to see this and that, and you know, and people are there just doing this, and we're all doing the same thing.
That sounds almost identical to the Reiki experiment we did.
Probably.
The same meditational guide, yep. Which it's interesting, but again, it's...
It's imagery. Right. You're
it's influencing somebody.
Right. You're causing the own images to develop, so how do you know that it's actually existent on its own?
It's like reading a good book. I mean, you imagine yourself in that character's position half the time, and that's what makes a good book.
But you're being led along the path, so...
I believe the Reiki one, which we did have interesting things happen to with the equipment, the Reiki one, but nothing we could really document. But the idea there was, you know, you take a backpack full of your burdens off or something, however it went, and you could physically feel the weight change, supposedly. And I'm sure you absolutely could, but that's mostly because of the power of suggestion at that point. It's suggestion.
Yep.
Astral travel is the same thing. You start at the top of the mountain and work your way down mm-hmm. to the waterfall to relax yourself. Steve?
What?
Oh, I thought you wanted to jump in.
No. But I can see our David sitting there, a bunch of group of people, their eyes closed and going like this.
I was actually like, it became
he
a joke.
Was trying
because everybody would go around the room saying what they were experiencing, what they learned, what information they gathered from their journey.
Oh, really?
And I was just sitting there, and they came to me. I'm like, I got nothing. I don't know.
But you know what scares me along that topic, and they touched on it last week, are children. These children that say, oh, I picked you and Daddy, Mommy.
Yeah, right.
Or, I remember the fire I died in.
Yeah.
What are these children seeing?
Yeah.
And what are they experiencing?
When I was a child, like a little child, like 3, 4, 5 years old, I always used to tell my mom, remember when I was 16 and I had my driver's license in the blue car? Or remember when I was 18 and I did this or that? And she would always say, you were never 16. You were never, but the memories
were
all
16.
There.
You just kind of appeared.
No, when I was a child, like when I was 4 or 5, I was saying this stuff.
Oh, when you were 4 or 5.
When I was a child.
So at that point, you weren't yet 16.
Correct. But I had like a lifetime of memories of things that were happening.
So don't ever buy a blue car then.
That's right.
So, like the little girl that was driving over the bridge. Over the lake in a bridge with a little girl, 3-year-old little girl, says, oh, Mommy, I died here. And she says, well, how'd you die here? Oh, before you. What was this little girl?
Right.
What
exactly.
was she saying?
Yeah.
What was she experiencing?
Mm-hmm.
Before you, Mommy, I died here.
Yep.
What is that?
In Weiss's experiments there, but in with his subject, when he was a psychiatrist, was a very well known psychiatrist or psychologist. He had one of his, victims. One of his patients came in and had gone through past life regression through hypnosis with him, which is a common practice, I guess, in psychotherapy or whatever they want to call it. And she, at one point during the meditative state or during the hypnotized state, she started talking about how she'd seen his grandfather or his father and like his uncle. And they were there talking, no, his father and his son or something, and they were there talking to her. But his son had died
I think it was either stillborn or not long after birth, and he had told no one about it. And his father had died, and he doesn't have pictures in his office. He has no information about him. And it was in the 70s, before the internet was there, and before anybody could really do real research on people, at least without having some kind of access to something. And she was a random person that had no access to anything. That was one of those ideas then that convinced him of the paranormal being more real, I guess, real at that point.
Yeah.
Well, things like that. Maybe when we were talking about, like, when you die, the consciousness will either disperse, stay. Maybe it just gets attracted to
the next,
like a little baby or something. Maybe as the brain grows, the mind is like the actual, like your mind, I guess, mm-hmm. is growing too, to kind of accommodate some kind of consciousness from
somewhere
something.
Else. Yep.
Now here's
and your memories that you start developing start forming your own personality in this net, but you still have that consciousness in you
yeah.
from a previous, I guess you'd say, life or
right.
person.
Now, maybe from a slightly more morbid point of view or horrific one, I guess, what if your mind isn't developing slowly over time, giving you these things? All of that's there instantly. All of your memories, everything you've known, everything you're going to like know from that point, but you haven't developed the ability to discuss it or experience it yet. So you're living these things without the ability to truly project it.
But they're already there.
It's like torment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you're living every day saying, I know what I am. I know I'm here doing this. And then it's like, what am I supposed to do? And then that point to where you develop to experience it, switch is flipped, you know nothing.
Yeah.
Or something happens and you're not aware anymore, or that connection, the connections being fused in your brain at that point are preventing you from then seeing what you've seen.
Every show we should do this.
Tinfoil topics.
I think this is fantastic. I think it's great. I love it.
Can I just, before we go off, sneak in the caveat? I don't like hypnosis. A couple, two, three of you might even remember this. I know the other two of yous is probably too young for this case.
Two of yous?
It was like early 1990s. They put this kid under hypnosis. And by the time they were done, this kid pretty much implicated everybody that was at this daycare for sexually assaulting him. And they all went to jail over this thing. All based on testimony they drew from this kid under hypnosis. And it was like a 7-year-old kid or 5-year-old kid. And they had all these experts come in and debunk this and tell him this was the power of suggestion that the hypnotizer, or whatever they're called, the hypnotist,
we had
put into this kid's mind. Pretty much as David was saying, would you call it reflective, visionary, masturbatory visions?
Right.
That these people were touching this little kid, and they really never did. And then there's the other woman. I think we were talking about this, where this entire village of people from the Civil War from all over the United States, like, flashed back. They all reunited through hypnosis or something. They put, like, 50 people... That wasn't me. They put like 50 people under hypnosis, and they all ended up like being
from
this one
from the same
village or something
yes.
back to the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
that's the problem with hypnosis, in the sense that it's opening your mind to those points. Is it possible that maybe you will pull memories from something that can be validated? I'm sure it's been done, and I'd love to see actual research into it. My problem though is that, having seen people under hypnosis on certain situations, you're truly in a suggestive state. There's no, and you're talking it's not called subliminal messaging anymore, but even subtle hints of things that people who are actively paying attention can force them to say or think certain things.
Yep.
And a person that I truly enjoyed watching some of their videos as of late, and some of the stuff they've done, their stage performances, is Darren Brown. And he covers a lot of the hypnotism and power of suggestion concepts. And he's also very famous for debunking a lot of psychics, because he takes into account what he does versus what they do. And he does what they do on stage, but then tells you in the beginning and the end, I'm not psychic. I did it because you were susceptible, and mm-hmm. this is something I said, and it led you that way. And some of his point-to-point pieces are extremely out there. And some of them are a little obvious, but then some of them are to the point where you don't recognize until he does playbacks. And it truly is interesting to see how people react.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people that go through past life regression? Say, I'm going to do this real quick. Say, I am Colonel Bob Smith, I died in World War II off the USS Saratoga, da 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 da. And they go back and they look, and this colonel was right there, and he died that way, and he was on that ship.
Did you go through grade school history?
What about that?
Did you go through grade school history?
What if it's a 5-year-old kid?
That would be more interesting.
Yeah, the younger.
If you told me that right now, I'd ask you. You went through grade school history. Is it possible that you've heard this or seen?
But what if it's a child, a 5-year-old kid?
That makes things a little bit more interesting. And yeah, those are more plausible concepts.
And it happens all in the world of the paranormal. And you heard it here on Tinfoil Topics.
Tinfoil Topics.
Paranormal.
Tales from the Tinfoil.
Investigator Radio.
He just wanted
to be off the air.
No, we're not off the air.
He's closing shop.
He is closing shop. Actually,
Omar has got the con.
We'll be dropping the show here in a moment. Thank you everybody for listening.
August 2nd.
Thank you. August 2nd, we have an event at the Shops at the Finish Line in Utica, New York. It's an event to raise money for the Live Strong Foundation to help them fight cancer and help people who've suffered through it. We have John Zaffis coming up, the paranormal celebrity as he is from The Haunted Collector. Great guy, and from what we've been told, a heartthrob with the ladies. Well worth checking out. He's got 30 years more or more of experience that we've loved to have him impart upon people.
He's got a sweater, and he's not afraid to use it.
Not afraid to use it.
He's got several sweaters in red, I understand.
Yeah, there it is. Tickets are on sale, discounted for now until the end of the month for $45 for VIP, which includes a ghost hunt with him and us, which more importantly, us. So at that point, I'm going to say thank you all for listening.
Wait. October 25th, Gloversville. We just set up the event for them, fundraiser.
We'll discuss.
I believe the tickets are $25. Sell that one out again for us.
Check us out on Facebook, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And here's our ending. Thanks, guys, for listening. I'm Mark Berry.
I got to go PP Leonard.
Dave DeProspero.
Larry O'Grady.
Steve Roscoe.
And thank you for listening.
Good night.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.